This is Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. This week, the governor made owning small amounts of marijuana in Colorado legal when he signed Amendment 64 into the state constitution. Well, with the same stroke of his pen, he also opened the door to hemp. You see, the amendment directs state lawmakers to regulate industrial hemp. Right now, hemp products, from clothes to cereal, pull in hundreds of millions of dollars annually in the U.S. But farmers here aren't getting any of that money. A federal ban on growing hemp means manufacturers have to import the raw material. Well, now that Colorado's thrown its support behind hemp, farmer Michael Bowman says he's going to grow it. Bowman lives in the Eastern Plains town of Ray. Michael, thanks for being with us.
Nice to be here, Ryan.
You've decided to become the first large-scale commercial hemp grower in Colorado. I understand you're going to plant in the spring. Are you sure about this?
Well, that is our plan, Ryan. Amendment 64 set the stage to allow the cultivation of industrial hemp, and I've been a part of a small group that has been working on this for almost 5 years to kind of get past the giggle factor and kind of open up the discussion about the importance of this crop in the history of our nation and what really represents an opportunity for rural agriculture in Colorado and America today.
You say the giggle factor. What do you mean?
Well, anytime you say hemp, it's hard to get past the giggle factor. Quite frankly, if the crop had a different name, this would be a lot easier lift. You know, the first thing that comes to many people's mind is, you know, something out of a Cheech and Chong movie. And this is really serious stuff.
I want to ask you about the reasons why you're doing this. But first, what are the reasons not to do this? What are the risks?
Well, the risks right now, Reiner, federally, much like marijuana, you know, it is illegal under the Federal Controlled Substances Act.
So you, too, as a farmer, would be dealing with that tension that dispensaries, for example, are dealing with.
We would be. We'd be dealing with it with the same exact issues and structural problems that they've had to deal with.
Gosh, I'm thinking about, for instance, dispensaries, businesses that can't get loans. They can't even get bank accounts. Are you going to be running into that kind of stuff?
I don't think so. In our case, we won't need a loan. Keep in mind, we're in the plant family that is less than 0.3 percentage points of THC.
It's the active ingredient in pot.
It is the active ingredient in pot. And actually, it is really the anti-marijuana, if you look at it from a cultivation and from a farmer's perspective. If we were really serious about trying to eradicate marijuana, you'd grow industrial hemp because the cross-pollination of the two would destroy the THC. So it's been lumped in with marijuana, you know, for decades, but yet it's a very, very different animal.
But it is illegal federally. So do you worry about a raid? Do you worry about your family's security?
Well, historically, the raids have happened. There's been several attempts to grow industrial hemp, both by Native Americans on Native American land and by North Dakota farmers.
North Dakota.
And the DEA has regularly come to the farm about the time that it's ready to harvest and have destroyed the crop.
What makes you think this would be different?
You know, I think what's different right now, Ryan, is that we've seen, a real movement politically. Yeah, you know, we passed, you know, Amendment 64 in Colorado with a 55% approval rating. That's more people than voted for the president. We're going to see that, you know, much like the good actors in the medical marijuana industry in Colorado are being left alone, if those who are playing by the rules, that, you know, we would plan to play by the rules as well.
You hope. I mean, let me just say that all of that is based on hope. You don't have guidance yet from the Attorney General, Eric Holder.
That is true. I mean, there is a significant amount of hope in it, but there is no guidance and there is no assurance from DEA, from the White House, from anyone that we wouldn't be put in harm's way. But we'll march forward and there will be movement on this issue from the federal agencies on down between now and May when it would have to be planted.
Are you having any direct contact with Washington on this issue?
Yes, I am, Ryan. I spend a good deal of time in Washington on advocating on generally renewable energy projects and sustainability in general within agriculture. And as a member of the White House's Champions of Change program, I have a special opportunity to lobby the White House on behalf of what we're doing here in Colorado.
On behalf of hemp.
On behalf of hemp.
They might not have seen that coming.
They may be sorry they ever let me in.
You're listening to Colorado Matters. I'm Ryan Warner, and we're talking about perhaps the less well-known aspect of Amendment 64, which legalized recreational marijuana in Colorado. It also called for a hemp industry in Colorado. And we're speaking with someone who's looking to become the first large-scale commercial hemp grower in the state. I'm also thinking down the line. So it's one thing to be the producer and worry about a raid, but then you need to sell this crop. Who's going to buy it if they're at risk?
That is one of the most unusual aspects of the whole structure of the industrial hemp industry. It is not illegal to consume industrial hemp products in this country. In fact, the United States is the largest consumer of hemp products in the world, and yet we're the only industrialized nation that doesn't allow it to be grown. And so from a case of Colorado-grown hemp, we have a couple immediate things we could do with the harvested crop. The seeds themselves could be cold-pressed, and the hemp oil is a very high-grade food oil. So that could be used and consumed right in the state of Colorado.
It's like a cooking oil?
It's like it's a premium cooking oil,
okay.
And you'd find it in health food stores and in any health food store in the state of Colorado. The cake, the protein cake that's left over from the pressing of that seed is a very high-value protein for animal feed. And the stalks themselves can be baled and processed into a number of things, energy, advanced biofuels. An acre of industrial hemp produces 4 times more fiber than an acre of forest. So there's tremendous amounts of products within those that can be used here, you know, in the state without having to travel across state lines with the product.
And which could involve the feds in a different way. And so you're saying that is not a market you're hoping for. That is a market that you can start serving immediately.
Yes. And that's really what gave us, I think, the impetus to go ahead and start planning for this year, because we're not going to be dependent on having to transport the finished product outside the state's boundaries that we have uses for it here today.
Is it going to be lucrative?
Well, and that's what we need to find out. The data from Canadian farmers shows that it is an extremely viable alternative crop. And that's really what got me interested to begin with. There's over 2,000 products that can be made from them, from materials to very, very nutritional food products. And the hemp stalks can be made into paper products, replacements for cotton-like products. There's a vast number of opportunities here in the food, feed, fiber, and fuel industry. And if you look at from the area that I'm in over the Ogallala Aquifer, we're into those stages where we need to start looking for alternatives for cropping practices and systems over that aquifer. It's predominantly corn today and has been for 5, 6, 7 decades. But those days are dwindling.
Hemp is not irrigated?
Hemp requires a very limited amount of water.
In comparison, certainly, to corn.
In comparison to corn, alfalfa, many of the crops that are grown. You know, it won't be a silver bullet crop, but we've clearly got to start setting the stage for what's going to be happening over the next decade or two in transitioning some of the areas of the aquifer that are challenged with their water supplies into something that's going to keep the rural economies robust.
Is the area where you'll grow hemp, is that currently cornfields?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so you're doing a changeover, quite literally, in the land. Do you have to do a changeover in equipment? Is harvesting hemp like harvesting corn?
It's not like harvesting corn, but it's much like harvesting canola or wheat. So
that stuff you've done?
Absolutely.
How many acres are you going to plant for starters?
Well, I think we'd like to do 100 acres.
100 acres, and how many acres is your farm?
It's about 3,000 acres in total, growing various crops.
Does hemp require fewer pesticides or herbicides?
That's one of the really valuable parts of having hemp in your crop rotation, that it requires very few herbicides, pesticides, you know, less amounts of water. So it's less resource intensive than the options that we have today.
Let's end on a bigger picture question. You said at the beginning that this wasn't just about having a viable, profitable crop. It sounded like you really believe deeply in hemp. I mean, this is as much a philosophical journey for you as it is an agricultural one.
It's really interesting to say that, Ryan, because it really has become a philosophical at my core. When I started investigating this crop maybe nearly a decade ago, and then got very involved about 5 years ago in it, and understanding the history of hemp and how it was regulated out and how it was taxed out of existence by some corporate barons in the 30s who didn't want a competing crop, and the role it played in World War II and then brought into the Controlled Substances Act in the 70s, the fact that we can't grow this in this country, you know, is really, I mean, it's something we have to change.
You were going to call it preposterous, weren't you?
I was going to call it preposterous. Okay, I'm going to call it preposterous.
Are you wearing any hemp right now?
I wanted to be, but I'm not right now at this very moment.
What would you have worn?
I would have worn my, I have a hemp shirt, but I don't have it on me today. So but I do have a hemp shirt. It's a very comfortable shirt.
Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Ryan.
Michael Bowman is a fifth-generation farmer in Ray, Colorado. He hopes to plant his first hemp seeds on April 30th of next year, a date he chose because it's Willie Nelson's 80th birthday. Nelson is a longtime hemp advocate and one of Bowman's friends.